I will kick this off, wrist pulsing, and I will go to chair where.
Thanks. Good morning, everyone. So the Risk Policy Workgroup met on November 14th via webinar. We were excited to welcome Jeff Smith and Bill Lucy to the group with the retirement of Cherie and the terming out of Rick Belavance. And then we also had an SSC vacancy on the workgroup. So that's going to be filled by Gareth Lawson. So we're now at full capacity, which is really good because I think we're hearing the need for this tool is now, and we need to be pushing forward as best we can. So Jonathan's going to go through our timeline for the next year. I think it's slightly aggressive, but again, I think the need is now.
Thank you, Megan. Good morning, council members. Jonathan Piros on New England Council staff. Sherry, could you advance the slides? So today's presentation is really, it's the year in review. So we want to talk about work that has been completed in 2025. We want to provide an outlook of what the council should expect in 2026. We want to talk about how we'll get there, and there's no action required today. Next slide. So the new risk policy became effective as of January 1st, 2025. It's unfolded in two different phases. The council's been using the risk policy in what we've called alpha phase that should look and feel very similar to the way the council was using its prior risk policy. We made some changes, some updates to the risk policy matrix. It now aligns with the seven factors that the council had identified when it approved the risk policy, September of 2024, but it's really a qualitative application of the council's risk policy. The risk policy concept that was approved, though, talks about a quantitative application. It talks about a connection to harvest control rules. And so we've spent the full balance of the year thinking about how do we get there, taking input through simulation testing, the council doing a full weightings exercise at your April meeting down in Mystic, and then a series of feedback from several groups, including this body, the Climate and Ecosystem Steering Committee, the SSC, the SSC's SSS. A lot of people have thought about the risk policy. A lot of people have provided feedback on the risk policy, and we're taking the time now to try to incorporate that as we update the concept. Next slide. So all of that leads to hopefully the application of the risk policy concept with harvest control rules for catch setting in 2027 and beyond. Again, we're building on input that's come from the council and other groups. A lot of really good and powerful information has come from the University of Maine. So Dr. Lisa Kerr and Dr. Roger Brothers conducting basically stress testing of the risk policy in conjunction with their work on groundfish harvest control rules. And I think it's taught us a lot about what we came up with initially and where we need to go to make this work for the council. So next slide. I want to talk a little bit about where we've been on the risk policy. We've really been focusing on numbers one through four, steps one through four on this slide. Where we want to go is number five in 2006. So the risk policy concept has seven factors. There's a process where the council itself is applying a policy decision about how you might weight those in terms of its risk tolerance. There's a more objective process that is done by the plan development teams. This is the scoring process. The data we're thinking about is what is the size of the stock? How strong are the year classes that are coming into the fishery? What are impacts on the commercial and recreational fleets? What is the environment and the climate? Those are all things that the factors should be considered as part of the risk policy. When we blend those two together, when we put the weightings and the scoring together, we get a Z score that should be telling the council something about its level of risk tolerance. Is the risk tolerance low or high for that decision? Where we want to go is to step five and to bring that information together with harvest control rules to say something about what the catch level should be. Maybe most simply, I think, what is the distance between the ABC and the OFL? And it might look different for different harvest control rules. We should be really clear about that. But I think in some of the early conceptions that the Groundfish Committee has seen in recent weeks, that has been one of the focus areas. And I think it might be the easiest one for folks to get their heads around. Next slide. So how are we going to do all this and what are the steps? I think that the main deliverable and the thing that we want the council to focus on and vote on in June of 2026 is an updated risk policy concept document. Those are going to be the procedures. Those are going to be the steps that the council uses to implement a quantitative application of the risk policy. It's the how to. What are the plan teams going to do? What does the weighting exercise look like? And we're trying to build on a lot of the feedback that I've already talked about from several different groups. So that will mean adding text, changing some of the text, revising some of the ideas that we had initially proposed. It's not a pivot, but I think it's just a refinement of the ideas that you all approved back in September of last year. Next slide. So thinking about some of the milestones on how we arrived there, I think the council deserves a lot of credit for its work back in April and the demonstration waiting exercise that you all went through. We're working very closely with the University of Maine on this risk policy demonstration and evaluation white paper. There's more to come. There's more for the working group to think about, but that is complete and we received a final report from that group. Most of the work is updating the risk policy concept based on the feedback. We want to update that concept and then roll that out to both the council, the SSC. We want to engage with the CESC, all the groups we've been working with to have some feedback in March of April of next year. We want one more feedback loop after the groups see the updated concept before final approval. I think that's a reasonable timeline for making these changes. We'd have the council approve revisions in June of 2026, go through a global weightings process, and then aim to implement and use the risk policy with the harvest control rules for setting specs next year. That's where we want to be. Next slide. So just to give you a flavor of some of the things that we're thinking about, these will be on the next two slides. These are under considerations. These will be recommendations, right? The working group works for the council, but we want you to know how we're thinking about some of the different feedback that we've received so far. So the first is thinking about the shape of the curve. And this really, what's important to know about the shape of the curve is it tells you how fast or slowly you might move towards a place of being more or less risk tolerant. And so one of the things that we've identified is modifying the shape of the curve. So we're in the bottom right hand panel, the presentation here. In the past, it's been the shape that you see in the bottom left hand panel, where it moves very quickly towards high risk tolerance. What we've been talking about is having a more gradual arrival at those places. And I think we can spend time before at the January meeting and at the January risk policy working group meeting talking about what that means in practice. The other things that we've been thinking about is the risk policy got stress tested, was revising the scaling of the score to make sure that you can access the full range of that curve. So you're not stuck just in the middle or at one end. We need, I think, to work on the math behind the risk policy to make sure that you can access that full scope. And then thinking about the range of scores that can be applied for each of the factors. And if you remember back to some of the earlier presentations, the maximum range has been a -4 to -4. Some factors didn't move that full the full scope of that scale. And so what we're looking at is to make sure that the score range is modified and adjusted in concert with any scaling and any changes to the shape of the curve to make sure that the math is actually working as we intend it to. Next slide. The other big piece that we've been thinking about are the factors themselves. So a lot of feedback, and I think a lot of good feedback about the seven factors that the council chose, but not just the factors, but the data that's being used to score each of them. And so the working group is going to recommend some revisions to the factors. One of them might be to use fewer overall factors. We started with seven. We have a series of subgroups that are looking at the recruitment factor, assessment type, fish condition, and ecosystem productivity, commercial and fishery, commercial and recreational fishery characterization. And so part of this process is to look at what data is being used to inform the scoring, but also does the factor and does the data really get at what the council's intent was when it set up those seven factors. Next slide. So looking beyond June of 2026, and what are the different steps that the council would be taking to fully implement its risk policy? So I'm going to go through each of these colored arrows. Just a reminder, this is a big lift, but it should get easier over time. I think it's been a lot of conceptual presentations for the council. I think we're excited to get to a point where we're really able to show scoring and demonstrate scoring, weighting, and then carry that all the way through to what would that mean for catch setting. But it begins with a global weightings exercise, and then we move very quickly into the scoring process. The council has been concerned about double counting of risk, and so we imagine doing some diagnostics to ensure that we're not doing that, that things that might be accounted for in the assessment, like recruitment, wouldn't be double counted. The plan development teams then have the heavy lift, I think, of doing the scoring, calculating a Z-score, and bringing that on to the SSC. That runs through the APs and the committees, and then comes to the council for final action. Next slide. So this is an example timeline. It's a draft timeline of what that might look like next year. I'd focus in the year one row here. The colors match what you just saw on the prior slide. So in June, imagining that the council would go through its global weightings exercise, would have an updated risk policy concept, but then we're right into the work. And there needs to be enough of a runway to be able to look at information that's coming out of assessments, whether that's data updates or management track assessments, and allowing the plan team to work with the SSC, the advisors, and then onto the council. Next slide. So I just wanted to take a minute to talk a little bit about some of the work that you saw from Andy Applegate yesterday during the Whiting report. You know, Andy has been thinking a lot about the mechanics of how do you get the data? What would the process be for the staff that need to gather this information and do the scoring? And I think, you know, a lot of the information that Andy brought forward in that presentation is a good flavor and a good representation of what this might look like in the future. There's a pretty wide range of information that got presented yesterday. I think it's exciting on this from the staff perspective that Andy and others on staff have worked to develop codes and scripts to access that data very quickly. That was a lot of information. The risk policy is focused on a series of factors, though. And so I think just wanted to remind the council that there are right now seven factors. That information is what's being used to generate Z-scores, and then in combination with harvest control rules. And so we'll keep talking about that, but wanted to be clear about kind of how you might think about some of the information that's been coming forward. There are several initiatives that are underway that Andy alluded to yesterday. So I've talked about the UMaine project for groundfish ABC control rules. There's groundfish framework 68 that would implement those changes. Work at the Climate and Ecosystem Steering Committee, as well as the communications group, I think we'll be looking for support and thinking about how we continue to talk about the risk policy. We need all council staff being able to share this and communicate this effectively with the different plan teams and committees. It'll be going back for review later next year. And then this internal process mapping idea that the council's writing integrated documents to comply with a series of statutes. We're moving away from annual monitoring reports. There was the omnibus regulatory flexibility action that I think introduces new processes. And so we're thinking about what is the data that the council needs to make decisions, irrespective of whether you need to comply with NEPA or Magnuson. There's new processes underway. And so we'll be meeting about that, and that definitely has a place with the risk policy has a place in that conversation. Next slide. So the outlook, I think the outlook is a lot more work for the risk policy working group. We're trying to get a meeting on the books in January of next year. We'll have several subgroups, hopefully in action later this month. We'll be looking to come back and engage with the council at your January and April meetings. So please be ready and ask questions in between if you have any. And we're hopeful that we'll be at the table presenting a revised risk policy concept and undergoing a weightings exercise with this group at the June meeting and using this for specifications going forward. And I believe that's it. Any questions?
Thank you, Jonathan. Questions from the council, Mr. Pappalardo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Megan. Megan, you're a part of the presentation said we're going to start using this in 2027. That's the goal. Jonathan just said it's a tremendous amount of work and laid out some of the next steps. How confident are we that we're going to get it done so we can actually start using our risk policy? And where, if any, where are the potential hangups or speed bumps in that?
I'm confident we're going to give it our best shot. I can't make any promises. I would just give a friendly reminder. There's not a PDT supporting the risk policy work group. It's your fellow council members. It's SSE members. It's Jonathan. I know we all know how busy we are. So it's those folks who are trying to move this forward. I think we're pretty motivated because, you know, in the SSC conversations, it's come up multiple times now. I think we'll hear it later today. Like the need is now. So we're very motivated to try and fulfill that need. And we're going to give it our best shot.
I believe you will. I just, the reason I asked the question is that we're going to take up priorities tomorrow. And I just want the council to be mindful that we need, in my opinion, this is probably the most important thing we're undertaking in the short term. And the quicker we can support the process that delivers the opportunity, the better off I think we'll be in tackling myriad issues we have across all our FMPs. Thank you.
Thank you for that, John. Mr. Alexander.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Megan, are you guys discussing all 10 national standards to put them into the risk policy or just two or three of those? Or how's that working?
So I think in the factors, we've come up with bins of topics. So there's the assessment and the biomass status. There's the environment and kind of the climate relation, I'll say, of the stock. There's the socioeconomic implications. And so we've tried to bin the factors under those type of topics. I think because of how, I'll say, aggressive we're trying to move on the timeline, we need to be lean and simple to start. And that doesn't mean we can't add complexity as we go, but I think we need to be realistic, I'll say, about what we can accomplish in the next 6 months. So we have 7 factors now. I don't know if we will still have 7 when we come back to you guys in April or June.
Terry.
And are they all weighted the same or?
That is actually part of your decision, Terry, is we as
I say yes.
We will all weight those. So you can individually say how you rank the importance of those different factors, and everyone does that. And that's how we get a weighting. So it's not equal. When we did the mock weighting exercise, there were clearly some that rose to the top in terms of importance for folks.
Jonathan?
Yeah, I just wanted to go back to Terry's first question. And I, in principle, I agree that the risk policy should be consistent with the national standards. But I would think about the risk policy in the context of the development of action. So we're going to need to comply with the Magnuson Act and the 10 national standards and NEPA and apply the risk policy. And it should all be baked together. And so we haven't really thought about the national standards, I think, in does the risk policy touch all of these? Because that should be part of our process. So I would say that we're when we write our documents, when we get to final action, it should all be there, but you're going to get different pieces along the way.
Jeff Smith.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Just wanted to follow up on John's comment about the importance of doing this work over the course of next year. I am in full concurrence with you on that. I think this is a really high priority for us as a relatively new member of the working group. I know the group is committed to getting us into a position where we can use this for quota setting for 27. One thing that I wanted to sort of touch on here is that Jonathan mentioned the good work that Andy presented to us yesterday. That was a lot of really impressive information, and I'm glad to see how the staff is thinking about this. But I think it would be helpful for us as a council to try to sort of prioritize some of those analyses that the staff are working on and try to be clear with staff on the things that we think we need to make good decisions about our risk policy. That was a lot of stuff that we looked at yesterday. I don't think that we can do everything that Andy laid out for every FMP that we have for fishing year 27, but I think we're on the right path with it, and any guidance we can get from the council on the information that will help us make better risk-based decisions, I think will help this process move forward and get us to a point where we can use it for setting quotas in 27. So thanks for bringing that up, John. I appreciate it.
Any further questions on risk policy? We all set, Megan? Thank you, Jonathan, for your presentation.